The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are the slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The first half of our lectionary year, from Advent to Ascension, from Jesus' birth into the presence, to his rising into the presence of God, is typically called the season of Christ. The question we ask during that time is, who is Jesus? The second half of the lectionary year, now, from Pentecost to Christ the King Sunday in November, is called the season of the church. Our focus is on what does it mean to follow Jesus? How are we as Christians to live? Our texts during this season have often been about fear and anxiety. We've been told not to worry about our life, what we will eat or drink or what we will wear. If God provides for the lilies of the fields and the ravens of the air, can you imagine how much God will provide for us? Jesus says, "Do not be afraid." Last week we talked about the seductive power of wealth. We heard the parable of the rich man hoarding his grain in huge storehouses and prioritizing the things of this earthly life. He was afraid that he wouldn't have enough. Jesus says, "Do not be afraid." The text from the Gospel of Luke this week continues. It even starts with the words, "Do not be afraid, little flock. Do not be afraid." But on August 3rd, 22 were killed in a Walmart in El Paso. The next day, 10 people were killed by a gunman in Dayton, Ohio. Dozens more were injured. Do not be afraid, little flock. Almost 700 undocumented immigrants were rounded up in Mississippi on Wednesday. While I was writing this sermon, road rage overwhelmed the highway in Houston. Two were killed. Do not be afraid, little flock. Our son's 26-year-old friend, Mary, was diagnosed this week with an aggressive malignant brain tumor. Our daughter called us the same day, telling us that her 18-year-old friend, Jane, died of a rare form of brain cancer. Do not be afraid, little flock. A job that doesn't materialize, bills that stack up but can't be paid, aging and the loss of independence, new schools and school years, a change in pastors. Jesus says, do not be afraid, little flock. Do not be afraid. This isn't the first time that we have heard these words. Abram heard them after he questioned God's promise of descendants and land and a blessing. Joshua, the new leader of the Israelites, heard them as he stood without Moses at the border of the promised land. Isaiah spoke them to the people who had been driven into exile. Mary heard them from the angel when she was told that she was with child. The shepherds heard these words as the angel army filled the night sky. We hear these words again this morning: do not be afraid. In the King James Version, these words, do not be afraid, appear as fear not. There it sounds like more of a directive, a command even. Author Kathleen Norris calls these words an exorcism. As the words fear not are spoken, fear itself becomes a not or a nothing. Fear becomes something not to be feared. With the command, fear not, Jesus consoles us, comforts us, and then sets us free with the promise that God will give us the kingdom. It's a command and a promise. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's this promise of the kingdom that we have got to hold on to in the midst of the fear. And it's only by faith that we can hold on to the promise, because the antidote to fear is faith. 73-year-old Dolly Parton was interviewed this past June by Prevention magazine. She told the magazine that she sleeps every single night with her makeup on. She said, "You're never going to know if there's going to be a hotel fire." She must always, always be ready, and she wants her image to be perfect. I'm not sure about you, but I often wonder why, despite the number of times Jesus tells us not to be afraid, despite the fact it's a command, I often wonder why it is then that I am still afraid. Is it because my faith isn't perfect? Might I be caught in the morning with no makeup on, or with at times a questioning faith? Both our readings from Genesis and Hebrews today lift up the example of Abraham as a model of faith. Abraham was asked by God to do some pretty incredible things, like pick up his entire family and head out into a future that he doesn't have a clue about. But Abraham, even though lifted as a model of faith, is not perfect. He doubted. Abraham questioned God again and again. Abraham was afraid. Despite the doubt and the questions and even the fear, Hebrews tells us that he died still faithful to the promises of God. He saw the kingdom of God now, but he also looked forward into the future and saw the kingdom of God fulfilled. Abraham trusted in the promise of God and clung to that promise. He was our model of faith. Yet he didn't have an ideal faith or a perfect faith. Pastor Delmer Chilton reminds us that we so often get confused between an ideal faith and a model faith, an ideal Christian and a model Christian. An ideal Christian does everything right. never a mistake. Has a Dolly Parton kind of face, perfect, always. No matter what, an ideal Christian has no fear but only faith. Can we ever achieve this? Doesn't this remind you a bit of Martin Luther's struggle? Furthermore, if I am an ideal Christian, why do I need Jesus? On the other hand, a model Christian, through faith, still finds the kingdom of God even in the middle of life's fear. Even when we struggle, even when we don't know what's ahead of us, even when we're living scared and the thieves in the night are running rampant in our lives, we still cling to the promise that God is with us. We still manage to see the kingdom of God now. Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock." It's a command. Hold on to it for comfort and for strength. Then believe the promise that God will give us the kingdom here now and yet to come. Amen.